Thank you. You may be seated.
Thank you, Laura, for leading us again. We always appreciate it. Let's go back to Psalm 42 and Psalm 43. Now, for those of you who are guests with us today, we've been dealing over the last little while with the importance of, from a Christian perspective, having the long view of life, and that refers to a long span of time, a long experience, seeing things from the beginning to the end. And it's that type of wide perspective that often helps us to live in the moment when we're going through what we're going through. And so today I do want to encourage you, because I think the focus of Psalm 42 and Psalm 43 is for our encouragement. And while we talk about the issue of living with a long view in mind, and often that refers to God's track record. Boy, looking back here, and he's certainly faithful there. He will be faithful to me in the moment, and he will be faithful to me through into eternity or in my future, which may be even very uncertain. But one of the issues that I want to mention is that while we have the long view of Christians, and we can certainly even biblically say from Genesis to Revelation, make no mistake, we do live in the moment. And so from Psalm 23, when he says, even though I walk through, and there may be something that we have had to walk through, even today or last week or in the last month, that hasn't been something that's been pleasant. And certainly Psalm 42 and Psalm 43 involves the psalmist doing a walkthrough of a time in his life that he would just as not go through. And part of what we want to talk about today is that while we do live in the moment, the encouragement comes when we not forget the long view. God in control there, God in control right now, and God in control in my future. And so we want to bring that to bear on living in the moments in our lives. Make no mistake about it. This week, each of us will live in the moment in a broken world. And as we have noted before, our choice is this. I can walk through that moment with God or without God. That's my choice. I choose to walk through it with God. And I hope that that is my commitment, but that's not just my commitment, but that's my encouragement. I am not alone. And so when we come to the Psalms here, one of the things that I note is that when we come to the Psalms, it's a loved part of Scripture. And why is that? Well, I think it's just like we have different pieces of music today that are loved by different people. Because in those songs, you don't only get stories, sometimes of people's lives, but you catch the emotion that is being shared in the music of today, regardless of what type it is. And so when we come to the Psalms, these are songs that were set to music, and they share a message. And I think the big issue is that the reason why the Psalms are so loved among us is that many of the writers wrote about living in the moment. And so we catch their emotions right there. And sometimes it's joy, sometimes it's sadness, sometimes it's feeling alone. Sometimes it's rejoicing in being in the crowd of God's people. Sometimes, like in Psalm 42 and 43, it is the writer being totally disheartened with living in that moment. And so for us, when we're reading the Psalms, we know that we are not alone. And isn't that alone an encouragement? I think so. When we're reading through Scripture and we say, oh, my forefathers, my foremother, they were here too. This isn't just unique to me. They've been through this. I indeed am not alone. They had the same emotions, the same types of moments that they lived in. But we today want to discover how we can rise above living in this broken world and find encouragement through looking at the long view of God being my stronghold. And that's a statement from Psalm 43 in verse 2. You are God, my stronghold in this moment, even though this moment may not be encouraging itself. So let me just kind of reflect, and hopefully you'll be encouraged. The psalmist here, first of all, for me, he has his present situation. He is in the moment. And right in the first of Psalm 42, and we sang it today as well as read it in our opening scripture, he feels a tremendous dryness in his soul. And he describes it as a thirst or a yearning. His present experience of God's presence is lacking. He doesn't feel it the same way he has in the past. And it says there in verse 3 that the taunts of the enemies of God have caused him distress in his soul. And they ask questions like, well, where is your God? We don't see him. And so the psalmist in this moment feels the struggles of what is going on because of his enemies constantly mocking and taunting him and disheartening him. There's another little struggle I think we see here, and that is in verse 4. He says, these things I remember as I pour out my soul, how I used to. Sometimes the hardest things that we struggle with are in knowing who God is, we remember, I used to. And we used to. And we remember the good old days. Let me put it in a context for here. That when, for instance, during the 60s and 70s, when all of you had 5 or 6 kids, and it was more of a church community in some respects, and socially, you had that Sunday school, I understand, of around 100. And the church was fuller. And we used to. And sometimes the hardest memories are like, well, our kids used to come to church with us. And we used to know God's rejoicing presence. And the memory itself reminds us that the moment we're in right now lacks some of the potential that we used to know. When we get down to the nursing home and I ask some of the seniors about their story, do you know where we go? I used to. And even that is a struggle now, that I used to be independent and now I am dependent. I think you know where I'm going. Some of the struggle here wasn't just the words of the enemies, it's his memory of great days. And this is his present struggle. The struggles of the soul to bear. This is what we often sing. And so here we have, like in verse 5, why are you downcast, O my soul? Why so disturbed within me? Verse 6, my soul is downcast within me. And so he's sharing with us his emotions in this moment. And it is not easy. Verses 9 through 11, I was noticing how thoroughly this disheartening situation, and that's in chapter 42, got to him. I say to God, my rock, why have you forgotten me? Why must I go about mourning, oppressed by the enemy? My bones, this got right into his bones. My bones suffer mortal agony as my foes taunt me, saying all day long, where is your God? Why are you downcast, O my soul? Why so disturbed within me? And part of what we just want to identify with is that sometimes discouragement, being disheartened, it affects us totally. It makes its mark on our emotions. It can pull us down even spiritually. Like, where are you right now, God? But it even can get into our bones. And as we all know, poor mental health, poor spiritual health even, it sort of like rots the bones. It just wears us out physically. It affects our frame. That's what the bones are all about, our frame. And so being disheartened and discouraged here, count on it, in the present, it is very real, and it's very personal, and it's felt, and it's known, and it isn't meant to be demeaned. But the other thing for us today that we don't want to miss is that we feel that we are not alone, because we've been through in moments in our lives the very same things in some way that the psalmist has been through, and we feel the way the psalmist feels. This is, to a point, our encouragement. I am not alone. I am not alone. And so we want to say here that the context, really for him, is that he's not able to make his usual pilgrimage to the temple. Because he does say in chapter 42, I remember when I used to march in that great procession going up to the temple of God, their annual trek where they worshiped him and they had a great time together. They were with God's people. It was a great worship time. God was honored. It was a festive time. But now he's stuck in northern Palestine somewhere, because that's where Mizar is, if you look down at verse 6. He's stuck there somewhere, and the enemies, he cannot get out of that place to go to the temple for his pilgrimage as he would want. And that's the reason he's feeling it right now. So all we want to bring out is there's a depth of despair here that is in his heart, and he is voicing it to us, and we hear it. Let me put it another way. Times have changed. Do you ever feel that? Times have changed, haven't they? And things sometimes aren't the way they used to be. And here we are in the moment feeling it. And it is real, and it's personal, and it's disheartening. And we just know that the psalmist, nor me, nor you, were not alone. So that's the psalmist's present thinking. Let's pick up on his past. Because here, this is the long view coming in. It's his long-term memory that is so alive and well, and he begins recounting experiences of God's presence in the past when it was real, it was known. And he says in these chapters, I remember you as we used to do this. The point is, he does remember. And there is something to remember. That's what's encouraging. Because he knew that the God who was back there is the same God, though he doesn't feel his presence in the moment. This God is very real. He is alive. As a matter of fact, he says right here in verse 2, my soul thirsts for the living God. And so his past now is coming to bear on his present. And he remembers the God who is very real. He is known. He has proven himself. He was felt. He was enjoyed. He was reveled in. And this brought him at that point in his time to joy and worship. And now in the moment, his mind goes back, and in a sense he's saying, I may be right here right now, but I can remember being back there. And his mind and his memory serve to bring him sort of up to speed and to check him so that he is reminded that that God is still alive and well. Having that long-term memory is a good thing. And so when we read our Bible today, we may be in the moment with a given struggle that just is pulling us down in so many ways. But faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God, Romans 10:17. What is actually happening? When I read this book, I am going back to Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and so on, and I am reading histories that establish what God did and His proven track record. And I am affirming to my mind that this is the God that I know. And so I'm bringing, maybe we put it this way, I am not living in the past, but I am bringing my past to bear on my present. And now our faith in God's track record begins to firm up within our soul. And the psalmist could thank God for his long-term memory. Fortunately, God knew that sometimes our memories are very short. So he wrote it down in these documents. And we need to know these documents because the Holy Spirit, this is so exciting. I believe it is the Holy Spirit's ministry in our soul to remind us in the moment of the long view of God's presence, God's power, God's provision, God's protection, and all those things that we know are true. But in the moment, sometimes Satan would love to snatch the memory away, and we forget. What is encouraging here is that as disheartened as he is, his long-term memory is being stirred by the Holy Spirit, and he remembers what God has done. And boy, what an experience, what a gift to us to have the Holy Spirit, and that's his job. Jesus left him to be in the heart and life of the believer, and Jesus said, I am not leaving you alone, but my Father will send his Spirit, and he will bring to your mind all things that I have spoken to you. He's there to remind us. And in reminding us in the moment, he goes back and brings scripture and personal experiences of God's activity among us and in us and through us in the past. And that becomes for us a building block for the present. And in that I find encouragement. That's what he's doing here in Psalm 42 and 43. Even Jesus, remember when he was in the garden? We mentioned this yesterday in our men's group. Father, in the moment, if it's possible, let this cup pass from me. His suffering and torture and death and burial, if it's possible. But then he switched and said, nonetheless, not my will, but your will be done. And he went from in the moment to the long view of God's eternal plan. And he says, that plan is what we're going to stick with. And Jesus knew the strengthening of angels and the strengthening of God's Spirit. and he set his face to go through the race that God had set before him in his death and burial, knowing that the resurrection would come. So Jesus, in the moment, went to the long view, the long program of God, and we are called to encouragement by doing the same. When we're here in our present, we think of, I used to, and I know it's real, and I know he's true, and he's faithful, and he can help me, and he can protect me. And our faith in him in this moment is reaffirmed and established. I am not alone. Let's just point out this last thing. When you read Psalm 42 and 43, it's really the psalmist's prayer, isn't it? And we've been invited into his prayer time with God, because he's talking here to God. And that's why we sang the old hymn, there is a place. There is a place of quiet rest. And where is that? It's near to the heart of God. And so the psalmist here in 42 and 43 has like three stanzas of thought. And each one ends with this great affirmation. Verse 5 in 42. Why are you downcast, O my soul? Why so disturbed within me? And then he counsels himself. Put your hope in God, for I will yet praise him, my Savior and my God. He does the same in verse 11, and he does the same in 43 and verse 5. This great affirmation of God being able to implant in his mind and heart, in this moment of discouragement, the fact that true hope comes in the living God. And he counsels himself, he intentionally puts in his mind and his heart this truth that in God alone is his hope. That's why we quoted verse 2 of chapter 43. You are God, my stronghold. And it's in this God, in the long view of God's person, that stirred faith and trust and reassurance and confidence and hope. Hope is always focused on a secure future. And it refers to not, well, I hope so, but rather an assurance. Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. And so in the moment, what a foretaste of glory divine. And the psalmist, through prayer, was able to come close to God and take upon himself this long view. And I want to present this little thought, that what is happening here, though he cannot make his trek to the temple and actually be in what he referred to as God's presence with all the people of God, rejoicing in worship and focusing on God and encouragement and having joy and reassurance, though he cannot personally at this moment make the trek, through prayer, he is indeed fulfilling in the moment the experience of meeting with God that he thirsts for in Psalm 42, 1 and 2. He's actually experiencing God when he says, right now, I'm not where I really want to be. It's not pleasant being here. I wish I could be there. Because I remember when I used to be there, but right now, put your hope in God, soul, for I will yet praise him. my Savior and my God. And I believe that sometimes when in the moment we're not where we wish we were, that we can still, because we remember our past with God, we affirm who God is through Scripture, that when we come to prayer, God's Holy Spirit is drawing us to the place. Let's put it this way. Times have changed. And though nothing changes, I change to the point where I experience God, my hope, right where I am. And I don't have to make the trip to the temple. I experience God, my stronghold, God, my hope, right where I am and where I live in the moment. And for me, that possibility is encouraging. And I believe that's God's will. Let's take you can take your hymnal if you want, but our closing hymn together is Standing on the Promises. And this is really what we're talking about. Transformation that comes through reading the Word of God, hearing the Word of God, and putting our faith in Him. Please peruse the table out in the library. If you're interested in some of the books there, just take them. And we hope that you can stay for lunch with us downstairs. We're going to give thanks for the meal now, which means you can just eat when you go down. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, today, each one of us have known moments that we would choose not to be in. And there, we've needed to discover you afresh. You don't deliver us from those moments necessarily. You don't just snap your fingers and perform a miracle. You allow us to walk through them, even as Jesus himself walked to the cross. And he was killed, and they buried him. But we thank you that the end of the story wasn't there, because you're the God of resurrection. And so in our lives, in the moment, we might feel like we're dying. But you are the God who helps us. And you meet us in the moment and reassure us that you're God, our hope. Help us in this coming week to be refreshed and encouraged by these truths. Thank you that we can now go and have fellowship together. And we pray that you will bless the food, strengthen us with it. Thank you for those who have given. And we pray that today we might enjoy one another's fellowship together. In Christ's name, amen.